Good morning, good evening, good afternoon. Whenever you may be listening, welcome to the Hitting Hybrids podcast brought to you by Highway Seasonings. They're doing a very special package right now where you get 60% off and free shipping. They got a Fiesta package, Pitmaster, Italian Stallion, and more. This is Delta 9 hemp seasoning. You can cook with it. You could put it on your food afterwards. At the end of the day, the effects are the effects, and it's going to make you feel good. It tastes good. I use it all the time in my cooking. Really, really good stuff. So go to highwayseasonings.com. Promo code MikeyT to elevate your cooking game to the next level. Trust me, you will not regret it. Hi, everyone. Good to have you back. Transparently, playing hurt. I think I was hitting the pen a little too hard, and I was thinking I just maybe burned my throat, and it's been going on for probably 3 weeks, maybe longer, and I'm just thinking, no problem. The wife, she's got the nicotine pen. I hit that thing, just not letting myself repair, and then probably a couple days ago, just boom, just can't, my throat just clamming up. Really good time to do podcasts, right? But I had an interview scheduled with Cam Rogers from the Lock It In podcast. He will be coming on later. Really good interview talking about sports betting, sports gambling, and hopefully he's going to give you a few picks that you can sprinkle some cash down and maybe get a winner. We did not have the same pick for the British Open, and if you do remember, I have correctly predicted two out of the three major champions so far. I predicted Rahm, correct. I predicted Brooks, correct. Bryson DeChambeau, incorrect. But if I could go 3 out of 4, maybe that'll happen. So we both have an interesting pick. We'll see how that goes. But yeah, stay tuned for that. Just to get in a few golf topics here, just to warm up. And once again, hopefully my throat's not too bad. My head in the interview was terrible. I was referencing the British Open being played at the Renaissance Club where the Scottish Open was in. But when I'm sick, guys, my head's all over the place. My head's all over the place. I can't talk. I can't think. It's all jumbled. So who even knows where this little intro is going to go? But thank you for listening, and thank you for telling your friends out there. I've gotten some nice messages about the podcast, and the podcast is growing. So thank you for part of the culture. HittingHybrids@gmail.com. HittingHybrids on TikTok. Come find me working on setting up a YouTube channel as we try to explore and expand this thing a little bit more, but thanks for being part of the family. A few golf topics. Steph Curry, I've been all over Steph Curry. I don't know why. I feel like he has been like the pivotal athlete that everyone just says, oh, this guy's amazing at golf, and this guy could be pro, and this guy, it's like, this game is so freaking hard, and when the bright lights were on him, when he's playing the match, he's been getting just rolled up, smoked out, and clamming up in the big time. We just saw it against Mahomes and Kelsey, he just disappearing act. When he played with Peyton Manning against Barkley and Mickelson, he was just a non-factor. And now it takes a big man to admit when he's wrong. The American Century Championship, he had an unbelievable hole-in-one where he just, I don't know if I've ever seen someone sprint like that. And he like Usain bolted it through the flag. What an absolute scene. One hop and in. And for a guy who makes a living off of hitting long shots from a basketball court, of course he's going to have a hole-in-one. And then he drains that eagle putt to win and tosses. I've never seen someone toss a hat that high in the air. If you saw the highlight, he tossed the hat to the moon. It was out of here. I was more impressed with that. Like, how heavy is that hat that thing could just really get up into the air there? So, felt bad for my man Marty Fish, tennis guy. And if you haven't watched, there's a great Marty Fish documentary on Netflix just about mental health. And all the struggles athletes go through. So check that out on Netflix. Don't remember the name, but Marty Fish, someone heckled him right in his backswing on 18. What? Like, all right, I get it's Lake Tahoe, and I get it this is a, you know, kind of a celebrity event, but at the end of the day, this guy is coming down 18 with the lead. he's obviously been pretty focused on this thing, and he's a good golfer. You got some jackass. I hope whoever that guy's buddies were just slammed him hard. Like, air that guy out. Like, fuck you, dude. This guy, like, let the best man win, and right in your backswing, hey! How annoying is that? That which brings me to the point, if we start getting into live betting and gambling is going to become even more prevalent, and in golf, it's coming really well. Hey, I'm bearing down on matchups left and right. But if you get to some of these tournaments, beers are flowing, and you got a guy coming down the stretch, and you got a few pennies on him, it's a matter of time before more guys are heckling. So we just got to keep an eye on that. You know, most sports are, crowd noise doesn't affect. It's not an issue, but in golf, it is an issue. So congratulations to Steph Curry. What a scene out there in Lake Tahoe. Man, talk about a tournament you want to visit. That, the lake, the mountains, the sun, shooting basketballs. Also, these guys are shooting basketballs left and right, but I see them just chucking balls from, you know, really far towards the hoop. They got these little kids underneath the hoop. One of these balls is just going to break a kid's neck. Is that me just being a parent? Am I old man Mikey T? Maybe I am. I don't know. Moving on. Rory and the Scottish Open finish at the Renaissance Club. I will get that wrong later. Did not think that putt was going in. First of all, CBS, I mean, I know there was a rain delay and there was weather issues, but you can't watch the thing, you know, unless you're streaming on the app. I just felt like whatever CBS Sports is doing at that time and other, you know, pre-planned programming, put the Scottish Open on Sunday morning, you know, whatever. That hit the bricks. I'm sitting there searching for this thing. And finally, we get to 18, and good for the Scott McIntyre. I mean, it would have been great for him. Ah, talk about an all-time legend. And then Rory needs to go out, and he basically needs to go 103 holes, and he birdies 17, and then birdies 18. As bad as the camera angle is on that putt, there was a camera angle from the back of the green watching him just hit a low cut into the wind to put that thing probably, I don't know, it was probably about 12 feet. Also, I mean, Tom Kim, I think, four-putted, and you saw Rory McIlroy going nuts, like this is the last thing he wanted. But Rory, we were all over him about not making a putt in time, and he finally makes a clutch putt. Felt good to see him get a win. He hasn't got a win on European and UK soil in forever. Does that help him get over the edge? I don't know. How often do you see a guy win the Scottish and then win the Open Championship? What do you think? Are you call it the Open Championship, or are you a British Open people? I'll call it the British Open. I'll call it the Open Championship. But I feel like any time if I'm around some golf guy, like some golf snobs, and I say, oh, the British Open, it's the Open Championship. It's like, well, let me just, it's the British Open. Like, we can call it what we want. I say both. You know, I go both ways. But yeah, good for him. I can't imagine him going back to back, belly to belly. But it would be interesting. But you know, there's going to be some sort of, all eyes are on him. And whatever he does this week, if he's, you know, great, if he's bad, it's just going to be dissected, because every major is an opportunity for this guy to get off the schneid. He needs to get off the schneid, and that's what it's going to take. Hopefully, he saw some putts go in and found his game, and he knows how to play in the weather, so I don't think there's many people not rooting for him. Speaking of not rooting for him, Cam Smith. A lot of people were not rooting for him unless you were in Australia. An Australian, shout out Saki, my Australian international correspondent. Cam Smith told his mates when he gave the claret jug back, "Don't worry, mates, we'll be drinking back out of this thing in a week." I kind of love that confidence. After what I saw him do last year, my brain was already going to pick him, but Cam Rogers, you're going to learn in this interview, he does not like picking back-to-back winners. Last person to do it, Tiger Woods. So once again, probably not a Cam Smith play, but I like the confidence. We're going to be drinking out of this thing back in a week. I'd love to hang out with that group. Cam Smith, a bunch of Australians hanging out in Florida, just drinking tons of beers. Coopers, what are they, Coopers? Coopers, great Australian beer if you've never had one. Other news going into the British Open, Brooks Koepka, the RNA playing a little joke on him. He's going to be paired with the human rain delay, Patrick Cantlay. Just a little bit of a fun little twist there. I don't know if that's just them being a little, you know, cute and, you know, do they not like Brooks? Is that kind of a thing over there? Do they said, you know, we just want to make this funny. We don't want an American to win, and we know this guy is, you know, we want a Brit, we want an Irishman, we want a Scot to win this thing. Let's put Brooks Koepka with the last person he wants to play on earth. So I did have a did a post on TikTok. I think he needs to take an indica edible, slow everything down. Before you know it, Patrick Cantlay will look like he's playing speed golf, and Brooks can just go at his own pace. So good luck to Brooks and the human rain delay, which storyline number one for the British Open, weather is going to be wet and windy. I hear people complaining about, oh, we want dry. We get dry all the time. There's dry left and right. We want to see wind coming out of the sideways. We want to see umbrellas falling off, backwards hats, just rain suits. Give it all to me. Give it all to me. I'm not saying it has to happen all the time, but give me a day and a half of weather where these guys just get kicked in the teeth. Let's see how they handle it. But we are going to Royal Liverpool. So this is was built in 1869. It's a par 71 over 7,300 yards, playing even longer in the wind. If you've seen that new 17th hole, it's a wee bit long, and this thing is a turtle back. And if you hit this thing long right, there is just a devastating bunker back there. I love when you watch the guys take the medicine. We're at the pitch out sideways, take your medicine, where you get Mikey T in between two trees saying, I got a gap. I never have a gap, but I think I do. So you watch these guys hitting out of sideways, these bunkers. This is the 13th time it's hosting the Open. Some notable winners, Walter Hagen, 1924, Bobby Jones, 1940. You got Tiger Woods in 2006, and looky-looky, Mr. Rory McIlroy in 2014. Interesting fact, not even fact, this is some of these LIV guys, this is when they start to possibly not qualify for next year. So Patrick Reed, Joaquin Niemann, and Taylor Gooch, Abraham Ancer, they need a top 10 finish in this year's Open Championship, or shananana, goodbye, you're not going to see them next year. So starting to see how these people phase out. But we all know there's something working in the background. Jimmy Dunn, Jay Monahan's back from, quote, vacation. Can we get a little bit of an idea where this guy was? Anyone want to talk about that? It was just kind of like, oh, yeah, Jay's back. Jay's back. Where did he go? What was he doing? Health issues? Nothing? Come back with a few scars. Your haircut all messed up. I want to hear something. Kind of like if he was been kidnapped for a while and they just dropped him off at the side of the road. That's where I want to see Jay Monahan come back. Someone roughed him up a little bit. Let's see what he's got. We got two sets of brothers playing, the Fitzpatrick brothers and the Hogards brothers. So we'll see. Maybe there's some internal betting going on with these brothers. I would think. Surprised Brooks couldn't get Chase Koepka in there. You know, got him into LIV. Apparently cannot get him in to the Open Championship. So we are tuned up. We are ready to go. It is time to splash some money down for the Scottish Open. And there is no better person to bring on than Cam Rogers from the Lock It In podcast. Also, Cam Rogers Live on TikTok. He's a great interview, great guy. I was happy he could join me. Hopefully, he can give you some insights to put a little cash and coin in your pocket. So with no further ado, here's the interview. Thanks all for listening. And as always, hit 'em high. Oh, yeah, that hurt the throat. All right. We are now joined by Cam Rogers from the Lock It In podcast. Also, check out Cam Rogers' show on TikTok, Cam Rogers Live on Cameo, and all the other different social media platforms. We're excited to get into some betting conversations. Cam, this is a big week for betting, especially in golf. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling good. I'm a little bit sad, to be honest, Mike, because we are on to the final major championship of the year. And then after that, it's a hard pivot to football and all that good stuff. So, you know, a little bittersweet right now. Obviously, we used to have the PGA Championship in August, no longer, now in May. So the major season wraps up a little bit quicker, but this is going to be a fun tournament. It's a great field. We are missing Tiger Woods, unfortunately, but it's going to be electric, I think.
You got to like having the Open Championship, though, as the last major versus when it was the PGA, right?
100%. Yeah, and I think the way in which the calendar falls now, it's great because you have the Players Championship in March, you get the PGA in May. There was always this lull, from March and then waiting for the Masters, and then after the Masters, it was the Players, and it was like, eh, not as great as the PGA. And of course, the Open Championship is the oldest major, so it makes sense that we have that to kind of wrap up the year. And so there is a lot more energy behind it, I feel like, now than when you had the calendar previously. So yeah, I think it's all good in the end.
Agreed, agreed. And tell me a little bit, tell me a little bit about your platform. Obviously, you have the betting and the gambling angle. How'd you get all into this?
Yeah, well, I think the root of everything is that I have always had a passion for talking in front of crowds, a camera, ever since first grade. And since then, really just kind of channeling that energy through all these experiences that I've been able to go through. So whether it's, having my own ESPN radio show in New Hampshire in high school and college, or, going to the College Football National Championship game, winning a contest there to be a guest reporter, I have tried to create my own path through all of those experiences and, create a living out of it as well. And then with the last couple of years, obviously this whole sports betting thing has become a big deal. It used to be that fantasy sports was the big deal, and now it's sports betting because, of course, now these states are legalizing it and what have you. And I sort of have latched on to that as an opportunity to create content for, and that's where I saw all the momentum happening. So I was like, I might as well get on board with this. And so that culminated in creating my TikTok, of course, and what have you. And that's something that I discovered, oh, this is actually working. There's interest here. And, these platforms such as YouTube Shorts, TikTok, I would even argue Facebook Reels now, these things are taking off big time. These discoverability apps, more so than, say, Twitter, and I would even argue Threads. I don't know what's going on there right now. So I think that, put that all together, I've had a blast doing it. I host my own sports betting TV show on Friday nights on Stadium with Brandon Lang, who you may know too for The Money, that movie with McConaughey and Clay Harbor. So, I do a lot of these talking head things going on shows like yours. I've been on the Today Show, NBC News, all that good stuff. So, I'm having a blast with this crazy world of sports media and sports betting, and up and up. Here we go.
Yeah, I can't agree more, especially with TikTok and how you can get, gain an audience really quickly and see how engaged they are. I think it's just the future of everything. So I'm excited for you guys, you and just what you're doing. Now, here's the real question. Why is golf so hard to bet on?
It's such a random and volatile game. I mean, it's absolutely hilarious where you have a scenario like, say, Brooks Koepka coming into a tournament missing five straight missed cuts and then winning the tournament. That has happened before in his career, right? I mean, that's just the game. And I would argue a couple of reasons. Number one, you are picking from a pool of 156 golfers, right? So that on the onset makes it very difficult to pick the winner. I will be completely honest. I've only picked one winner correct in 2023. That's how hard it is. So that's why I usually opt for the top 10s, the top 20s. If you're betting in the outright market, do a quarter unit at the most. It's so hard to do. The talent differential from one golfer to the next is razor thin. This isn't like Alabama taking on the Citadel, right? Like, these guys are good, and they're all good. And if you go to a PGA Tour event, you'll see that they are just absolutely automatic. When you see them on the range, they all look the same, honestly, from a regular person's eyes. And so, because you have this small margin of talent, anybody can win any given week. And I think even now, more so than ever before, in the early 2000s, it was Ernie and Tiger and Phil and Retief Goosen and Jim Furyk mixed in there a little bit. And that was really it. Now it is just a wide collection of folks. I mean, Wyndham Clark winning the US Open out of nowhere, that is the perfect example. So, you're talking about a lot of golfers, all very good, and a random and volatile game. It is very hard to bet on, but if you do it the right way, you can win some money.
I will say this. I did predict the Masters winner, Rahm, correctly. I did get Brooks. I whiffed on, I forget who my PGA championship pick was, but we're going to get into a little bit who my pick is. But with how hard it is, what is some of the key data metrics that you look at to make a correct pick?
Yeah, I think the most reliable thing you can look at, number one, is ball striking. How is your ball striking week in and week out? That is the most reliable stat on the PGA Tour because you can pack your ball striking wherever you go. Putting and short game, a little bit more random, a little bit more volatile, hard to really predict and quantify as much as, say, your driving game and your iron game. Colin Morikawa, week in and week out, gains with his irons. Week in and week out, he really is unreliable with the putter. You never know what you're going to get from him. And when he wins tournaments, it's not because he's a great putter. It's because he's field average or loses like a half a stroke to the field. But he's so pristine with his irons. And that's such a reliable stat on the PGA Tour. That's something that I look at when I'm handicapping, especially a major championship. Maybe less so at an Open as compared to a U.S. Open or a Masters where tee to green game, it reigns supreme. At the Open, you can get away with, you know, your irons being a little bit loosey-goosey because there's such an emphasis on short game and putting at an Open championship, i.e. Cam Smith last year, by the way. I mean, he sprays it all over the tee, but he's so great with the putter in the short game. But for the most part, you know, that's what I look at, is how is your ball striking week in and week out? And typically, if it's good for three straight weeks, it's going to be good for a fourth straight week. And then, of course, you have course history. And, you know, when we're talking about a major championship context, major championship history, if you look at my TikTok, sometimes you'll see people saying, Max Homa, where's Max Homa? Max Homa doesn't have a top 10 in a major. I'm not going to bet on Max Homa until he does that. So, you know, that's something to keep in mind as well. Major championship pedigree is a big factor for me here at the Open, of course.
Well, if you're funny on Twitter, that automatically gets people to say, you got to bet on Max Homa.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
You're kind of cool. And it's fun to say that you bet on Max Homa, but I completely agree. Speaking of ball striking, do you play golf and how is your golf game?
Well, I am a washed up high school varsity golfer. I played back in the day and had a couple of good seasons. I still play today. It's harder to, of course, when you are older in the working world and all that. The game is all right. The game is all right. I would say I'm like a 14, 15 handicap, something like that. If I keep it a few strokes under bogey golf, that is a good day for me. I would say that it's hard to get out there because the golf course is in Maryland, like book up like that. By Monday morning, you can't find anything. It's like impossible. And it's so darn hot and humid now too. And yet people are still going out to golf. So I do still play. I enjoy it a lot. Play with my buddies here and there. Probably get out 7 to 10 times in a summer, which is pretty decent. And I feel inspired right now to book a tee time, to be honest with you.
Yeah, well, no free plugs on any of these people that book tee times. Do you have a favorite gambling game on the course? Do you like to gamble, you know, like poker? Are you just mainly sports betting? How much do you gamble?
Yeah, usually mostly sports betting. And I love to bet the major championships because the major championships, funny enough, are easier to predict than a regular PGA Tour stop. There's something about it where the cream really does rise to the top. Now, Wyndham Clark came out of nowhere, but I'm talking about in the context of top 10s and top 20s, you're going to see the same usual names. And so that's something that I really like to do. Football betting, of course, is king, in my opinion. I'm excited for football season to come around again. I think it's the most profitable sport out there if you do it the right way. Baseball from time to time. And those are my three, really. Yeah, football and golf and baseball a little bit. College basketball is always fun, too, but that's a quick season, in my opinion. And yeah, so usually no poker or anything like that unless I'm like at a bachelor party in Vegas.
Yeah. You know, it's so funny with football. And, you know, this was, I would probably say over the last year and a half, I got invited to go on this app and now I'm making bets. And I would always sit back and people always say, oh man, want football back. And I want football back. And I never was like, yeah, I like football. And yeah, it's the dog days of summer. But now I get it because once we go through this stretch of just baseball bettings, I'm betting on no runs first innings. That's my baseball bet. Yeah. Just, and that's what I read. There's no excitement. So that's why, you know, you're right. Football coming back. Oh my God, I cannot wait. Is there a player, and I say this because I've been riding the postman, JT Poston, mainly because I like to say, can the postman deliver to my friends? Do you have one guy that you feel like you ride consistently more than any other?
Well, this year in particular, it's been a couple of guys. Number one, Ricky Fowler, and that has been paying off handsomely. This guy has been absolutely fantastic here in 2023. I mean, talk about a career resurgence. The ball striking has been wonderful. Of course, he won the Rocket Mortgage Classic not too long ago. I think he's going to be a factor here this week at Royal Liverpool. So he's someone I've been on a lot this year. Patrick Cantlay is like the stat god. But it seems like he just can't translate that, obviously, to victories, especially in major championships, but even top 10s from time to time when he should be top 10 because his ball striking is so great. But, you know, the short game lets him down, or maybe the moment gets too big for him. But I have been riding him a lot. And then Xander Schauffele, too, especially at the majors this year, he's been pretty solid. So those are three guys I've been on. And obviously, Scottie Scheffler, John Rahm, those guys are names that you should be betting on. But I mean, I just can't go there in the outright market or even top 10s and lay that juice. It's just too steep for me. And I'm not betting a golfer at plus 750. I just won't do it.
So. No. And this made me think of something, because a lot of times with like Cantlay, why isn't he putting it together? But if there's some way that he's got his buddy Schauffele in the group, things are happening a little bit better for them and they play off each other. Do you look right at that and see pairings? And I know you're all into the stats, the ball striking, the putting, but do you look at a pairing and say, oh man, Bryson's in my group, which reminds me, Bryson was my PGA pick, which he was in there for a little bit. But do you look at pairings and see how guys play with each other?
Only in the context of the Zurich Classic, the team event, but otherwise, I really don't know. You know, it's interesting. Sometimes the U.S. Open likes to get cute with their pairings and what they put together there and what have you. And unless for extreme circumstances, like let's say 2 years ago, if Bryson and Brooks were paired together when they did not like each other, that would be something that I would factor into my handicapping. But, you know, as far as a week-to-week basis, not so much. I think guys are so locked in on the golf course, they're really not paying attention to what the other two or what the other guy is doing. So I think that, you know, it's a very small part of my process.
How often are your friends asking you for picks? I just could sit, you know, sit back if I'm sitting there just thinking, okay, what has Cam got cooking right now? Now, as you said, maybe actually predicting a winner is super hard. But in terms of getting some insight on matchups, you know, top tens, do your friends just ride you all the time for picks and they get pissed off if you don't get make a money?
Well, usually they roast me. They call me Cam Auto Fade Rogers, but I think they're just having fun about that. Sometimes they'll text me and ask me what the deal is. They'll give me some thoughts on an Open Championship or a Masters. Usually the big golf events are when they're betting. Somebody actually texted me today asking for some thoughts on top 10s and top 20s. And those are all come out, of course, on my TikTok and podcast, etc. But yeah, you know, it kind of varies from time to time. Usually my true fans are on social media. It's not my friends. Of course, my friends support me in everything that I'm doing. But as far as actually following my picks, they'll check in from time to time. But no diehards, I should say.
Sure. You'll love this story. We were at Stream Song with my annual golf tournament. And my buddies are all busting my chops as much as they probably do to you. And they support gently. But while we're at Stream Song, sure enough, two guys sitting at the bar just go, hey, hitting hybrids. Like we want, and you know, that I just sat back and they bought me a beer and I just looked at my buddies and I kind of said to them, I was like, look, if you don't think this is going to somehow benefit you guys, raise your hand and I'll count you out. Sure enough, this past year, Trump Doral, they got free rounds of golf, swag bags. So we keep doing what we're doing. They'll follow in line. With that, everyone has that bad beat. And mine came from a Super Bowl where I bet the over. And I was actually on the under, and I thought I won the whole time. So talk about a bad beat. Do you remember a bad gambling beat that you had that you just can't let go?
You know, it's funny. I think these have happened to me, but I try so hard not to keep it in my mind and just kind of forget about it that I couldn't even give you a good one. But I want to give you a really embarrassing pick, and that was Rory McIlroy winning the Masters. I was all over him going into the week. And sometimes I'm a little bit cocky about it too. Like, spoiler alert, I just revealed the answer key to the SAT. This is who's winning this week. And lo and behold, he misses the cut and really misses the cut badly. And it's kind of hard to be as good as Rory McIlroy is and then miss the cut at the Masters, because the Masters is a smaller field. Less people get cut as compared to the US Open or the PGA Championship. So, I mean, I fell flat on my face with that one. Absolutely pathetic. And, you know, that was one that kind of stung for the next couple of weeks. Rory McIlroy winning the Masters and then missing the cut. So.
Well, that's the problem. That's the problem with gambling. If you head over heart, I battle that all the time where I'm sitting back and I can't even, I love rewatching Netflix Full Swing. I can't watch the one of him coming down at St. Andrews and just watching how he, you know, just parred his way home and lost the Open and how painstaking that is. Cause you sit back and you want these guys to win. And I think that's something where, how much, you know, if you look at all the analytical data when you're picking these bets, I'm much more of a gut guy. I kind of just want to see where guys have been, you know, where are they in their mindset? What have they done recently? How much do you feel like, do you bet off your gut versus going off maybe the statistics?
I stay away from the gut mostly on the PGA Tour, unless we're talking about major championships, right? Because sometimes guys just show up at a major and they may not play well on regular PGA Tour events. The prime example, of course, is Brooks Koepka. But there are other guys who sort of flash that major championship pedigree at times and finish inside the top 20, and you get a good price on that. Alex Noren used to be somebody like that. You know, Adam Scott would pop at major championships as well. You're getting a good price on him for a top 20 here this week. So, you know, in the context of major championships, sometimes I'll go for that gut. Although last week I actually picked Adam Scott to win the Scottish Open, and that was a gut play. And he was like, you know, 70, 60 to one, something like that, missed the cut. So, you know, sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. But for the most part, I am analytically driven with my picks and all that, just because it's what's working for me. But, you know, sometimes at majors I'll go for the old gut play.
So before we get into some of the Scottish Open here, if you had to choose with your heart and you get to pick anyone that you want to see win, who's it going to be?
Here this week at the Open?
Yeah.
You know, just to witness history, I would love to see Brooks Koepka get it done.
Wow.
And
did
I say
that
because then we have a scenario where Brooks can complete the career Grand Slam at Augusta National in 2024. And I think that would be exhilarating. I think that would be wild to see. We haven't seen a career Grand Slam since, of course, Tiger Woods got it done. And I was very young back then. So for Brooks to get it done here at the Open Championship, that would bring us one leg closer, of course, to the Masters and a career Grand Slam, which would be pretty cool in my opinion. Of course, Rory could do it, but you know, who knows with him at this juncture. So I think Brooks would be a really interesting one.
You know, what's funny, with everything, no one ever talks about Spieth. Spieth wins the PGA, he gets the Grand Slam too, but it's kind of like an afterthought. I don't know why people aren't hot on Spieth in terms of thinking he could win.
Right. Yeah, you know, it's interesting. It seems like the PGA Championship just isn't the right fit for him. You know, a lot of times the rough is too long and the course is too long and he sprays it off the tee, and you kind of have to be tactical when you're playing a PGA Championship golf course. I mean, it's kind of a miracle he won a US Open, and of course, Dustin Johnson gave that one away. But look at the resume for Jordan Spieth at a US Open outside of that win. Not very good. Why? You got to be tactical with your approaches and your driving. You got to be long. The Open Championship is where Jordan Spieth thrives. Of course, winner at Birkdale back in 2017. You got to think your way around this golf course, be a magician, an artist, if you will. So that's more of his vibe.
Okay. Now, Mart, now I wasn't even thinking about Jordan Spieth, and now I'm going to get my app ready and start to throw money down on him.
There you go.
That's how easy I'm influenced, and that's why you have a market. Okay. So what is the easiest bet in golf to win?
I would say matchup plays. Honestly, you can find a lot of value when you're looking at matchups. I think it's a great way to start golf betting in particular, because it reminds you of betting on a game. 50-50 proposition in theory. Of course, you may have to lay some juice in some areas, but you can find those edges there, and you can shop it around too, because not every sports book is going to have the same set of matchups. So you can check DraftKings, FanDuel, BetMGM, see what you like. and then go ahead and bet from there. And sometimes you can find some great plus money. So I think matchup plays probably would be the way to go to start out, or, you know, find some easy profit.
Oh, I always say a nice Sunday afternoon, I'm cooking a little ragu on the stove there and have three matchups coming down the home stretch. Boom. There's nothing better. There's nothing better, exactly. Especially if you're at the postman and you start sending postman gifts to all your friends, telling them you got to ride the postman, which he's another one. Okay, so going into this Open, give me some British Open picks we should be looking at.
I love this play, and it's up on the TikTok. It's the lock of the week for me. It is Justin Rose for a top 20 finish, and here's why. I'm not scared about the miscut at the Scottish Open. Totally fine with that. He was T4 at the British Masters the week before on the European Tour. T2, T6, T4 at the Open Championship in his history. Of course, that T4 was back in 1998 as an amateur. He was low am. He's got three additional top 20s at the Open Championship. Last 24 rounds, he's 11th in strokes gained approach, 5th in strokes gained around the green, 16th in strokes gained total. That's in this field. That's really darn good for a guy who has a price of plus 190, shopping around, of course. That's over at DraftKings for a top 20 here this week. So that's my favorite play. He's a steady Eddie guy at major championships, good link style golfer.
So are you thinking that's a top 5, top 10, top 20?
Top 20, for sure.
Top 20. You know, if they said, hey, Justin Rose is breaking out that driving 2-iron that he won at Marion, I mean, that may be the trick. He could drive it probably 300 with that club.
Tiger Woods famously won at Liverpool back in 2006 with not hitting driver.
Not hitting driver.
So it can be done.
Not hitting driver. So who is someone that we need to be looking to fade pretty hard at the British Open?
It's funny enough, I got a video up on that too. Patrick Cantlay is one guy that I'm fading. I'm a little tired of Patrick Cantlay right now, Mike. I'm not going to lie. I picked him at the PGA Championship and it didn't work out again, even though all the data and trends and what have you pointed in his direction. But we're still searching for him to really contend at a major. It has yet to happen. And I am not inclined to think it's going to happen this week at a British Open. Historically, he's not one of the best link style golfers in this field. So staying away from him. Max Homa too, same logic every single week at a major championship. He's got to show me first before I go there. Here's the big one though. Where is Justin Thomas? I mean, the ball striking has just been putrid. And even when he was good with his irons, he did not perform well at an Open championship. He doesn't have a top 10. Over across the pond. So Justin Thomas, a guy that I'm staying away from too.
Yeah, and he's the type of guy that all of a sudden he could show up on the leaderboard and everyone goes, oh, yeah, we totally forgot about him, which he's got that game. I don't know what's not clicking with him. I feel like some of these guys that are, and this is my mindset again, like some of these guys that get early into marriage, just got married. He's, you know, learning, you know, a little bit more about space, a little bit more about time, you know, how to go through that whole thing. So now he's out of the marriage. They got married. Maybe there's a little bit of window here, but I think I'm going to fade him as well. You know, it's so funny you say that. You know, with, you know, like Cantlay, like, first of all, the weather doesn't look great. And now you're going to get the human rain delay and you're going to get this guy just holding up just rounds. Like, I can't imagine whoever's playing with him. See, that's where I would fade. But we are like scorned women. We are scorned women when someone doesn't come through to us. And I feel your passion for that. And I absolutely love it. Now, let's get to where the money's made. Who, and this is probably on your tick, Cam Rogers Show on TikTok. Who is your British Open champion?
The champion golfer of the year will be Victor Hovland. I think he gets it done. He breaks through, first time major winner. He's got 7 top 10s on the season. Of course, he won the Memorial back in May, runner up at the PGA, solid top 20 at the US Open. He's 6th in strokes gained off the tee, 10th tee to green. He was T4 at the Open last year. And I think his putting struggles can be mitigated on these greens. These greens are obviously larger and slower, so it's a different vibe on a links-style golf course. 2 starts at the Open, 2 good finishes for Victor Hovland. I think he gets it done. He's your winner here, and I think you can get him at like 22-1, 20-1, because you got Rory and Scheffler and Rahm kind of driving those low prices. So you're getting a healthy number on Victor Hovland. I think he gets it done here at Royal Liverpool.
The short game improvement has been huge. I mean, I used to just love when he was chipping around the green and I was like, or in a bunker, like, what is going to happen here?
Right.
You're right. It's once again, some of these guys, I feel like they're the guys that could go out and grab the claret jug. I think there's these other guys who need to have it kind of fall back in their lap. So I want guys that know how to putt, make birdies, and that makes sense. So with that, based on no statistics at all, the hitting hybrids going to try to nail 3 out of 4 major winners this year. My British Open pick, Ricky Fowler. Ricky Fowler, off the fact that I just said, yeah, now he's kind of, he's got one off, a little bit chip off his shoulder, I think is there. I think he relaxed calmly. It's a course that he's been to. He finished second back when Rory won it. I think he's just got a little bit of a practice at the British Open. I don't think a lot of people are talking about him, and that's where he likes to be. But something says to me, you're an analytics guy, I'm a gut guy. I could see Ricky Fowler, maybe it's a little heart there too, holding that claret jug, and how sweet would that look all the way over in England. Ireland. Well, Cam,
it's in the UK.
It's in the UK. You know, as we said, when we're both, you know, you're working full time, you can't always look it up. But the Renaissance Club, I could see my man Ricky Fowler holding the claret jug, and we'll hopefully all be able to enjoy a great weekend and week of golf. One of the best times of the year. Well, Cam, I really appreciate you coming on, giving some insights. Once again, Cam Rogers Show on TikTok. Check out the Lock It In podcast for all your different sports gambling needs. He's here to make you money. And then also on your all social platforms, Cam Rogers Live. Cam, thanks so much for joining us. I really appreciate your time.
I appreciate you. Let's do it again soon.
Thanks, Cam.